You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Hey, real estate fan, and welcome to another episode of Real Escape Investing. Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that I hope you never have to deal with, and that is evictions. The government has just released a set of reports about the current state of evictions, and of course, they're pointing at all the reasons why evictions are a bad thing for society. Now, us as investors and landlords, we know that evictions are kind of more complex than that, and that sometimes in order to save your investment and the other residents, we really have no choice. So tune into this episode to hear about the current state of evictions and also to know how you can prepare yourself in the event that you have to consider carrying one out.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
So, real estate fan, before we dive into the meat of the episode, I want to just give you the preamble that I always give to the show. And it is especially all that much more important with this particular show because evictions are a super sensitive issue. And as you're going to see, I'm going to be looking at a recent government report that came out from the CMHC. And so you're going to see that very often the goals of government and civil society and, you know, various interest groups do not really always align with the interests that we have as investors. And so the purpose of this show is not so much, once again, to have a political opinion or to, involve myself in critiquing what the government may or may not be doing and what some of these reports may or may not be saying, but it's really to frame some of the data, to take it apart, and to present it to you in such a way as to help you take action. And that's a really important thing when it comes to making good decisions in the real estate field. But that's also sort of one of the reasons why I do this show is because I want to help you as landlords, investors, people who are looking at investors, have a better understanding of the frameworks and the real world that's out there waiting for you the minute you close on your first rental property, but also with a view to taking appropriate steps and action and being able to interpret some of the information that you're going to be hearing around you. And once again, this is one of the things that I absolutely love about the long form version of podcasts. So as a medium, podcasts are just such a great thing because it means that you get to have a long form opinion about stuff as opposed to just consuming a tiny social media post or having a 15 second snippet on the news. The great thing about podcasts is that you really get to hear from experts and dive into subjects with some of the profundity that they honestly sometimes require to be understood properly. And so the last point I want to make on the topic of action is that in founding the Equity Builders Club, my goal was to create a place where real estate investors can come together and network, meet other people, share and exchange stories, be surrounded by like-minded individuals. And if you're thinking about some kind of action that might help propel your real estate investing career forward, please come and join us at our next Equity Builders Club event. You can find the details for that on our website, equitybuildersclub.com/events. And if you want to grab a ticket for our next event, you can use my promo code, which is ML5. That's the acronym for my book, Mindful Landlord. So ML5 is the promo code. Of course, if you want to check out the book, it's also available on Amazon. And without further ado, let's hop into this story about eviction. And while I have a whole bunch of eviction stories that I could tell you, I don't want to tell them all on the show. I don't think I would have time to tell them all on the show, but I do want to just start with perhaps the most recent one so that you get a sense for what the typical type of eviction can look like. So the most recent eviction that I had to carry out was of a tenant of mine who's been with me for actually 5 years. And we've gone through several iterations where he, you know, fell behind on his rent once before. And I really watched him go down a very difficult path during COVID. So the kid moved in when he was 17 and his mom actually co-signed his lease for him. That's how, you know, young and inexperienced he was. And then COVID hit 1 year later. And in watching the COVID situation mature for him, watching him experience it, basically it began with a very heavy weed smoking. And like, I noticed this because I had to go into the unit on various occasions to do upkeep and stuff like that. And so I began to see that garbage was accumulating and like really the state of the unit was of somebody who wasn't doing too well. And then fast forward a few years, there's now garbage accumulating on the balconies and there has been damage done inside the unit because slamming doors and punching holes in walls and stuff like that. And then because of the heavy weed smoking, now there are roaches that are infesting the entire building. And if you didn't know this, roaches are attracted to weed resin. So if you have very heavy weed smokers in the building, the chances are that the roaches are going to move in. And the unfortunate thing is that even if you order pest control, when somebody has garbage building up and they're heavily weed smoking in there, it's going to be very difficult, even with doing, pesticide treatments and stuff like that, insecticides by the exterminator. Even with that, you're probably not going to be able to eradicate the roach problem. And then, of course, compounding this were all the other kind of issues that you have as you watch someone who's having a hard time. So conflict with the landlord. So when the tenant fell behind on his rent again very recently this summer, he just kind of stopped paying and wouldn't respond to our phone calls. I then had my property manager go there and try to knock on the door. The tenant really was quite aggressive with him. We then had some maintenance to do in the unit. Again, the tenant would not allow our people in to do maintenance. And bear in mind that this is while his shower was unusable and there was like water damage happening because that shower faucet and stuff like that was leaking. And so like he would not let our plumber in for about 2 weeks until we actually managed to twist his arm to let someone into the unit. So what you will see with this is that, you know, us as landlords, we're kind of on this fault line because when tenants start to have a tough time, one of the things that happens is they fall behind on rent, they neglect their units, and they create various conflicts in the building. And while it might be the goal of civil society and the government to ensure that a person remains in their unit and stably housed, for us as landlords, that may not actually align with our best interests. And this is beyond talking about optimizing units or forcing people out in order to make more money off of rent. Like there could be a conversation about that, but that's not the conversation I want to have. I want to have the conversation about that fault line of the housing system where social problems and business interests and even the interests of other residents of the building begin to collide. Because if I were to explain to you the behaviors that pretty much all the tenants that I've evicted over my career had, and whether that is from sanitary infringements to having fights and conflicts. I had one woman who was walking naked in the halls of the building going up and down. She was like obviously not mentally well, and that specific situation culminated in her storing feces in her unit in shopping bags and then taking a sledgehammer to the shower stall because of course there were cockroaches in the building brought there by her own unsanitary behavior. And then because she thought that there were bugs in the walls, which there were bugs in the walls, but the solution to this ended up being taking a sledgehammer to the shower stall and also part of the kitchen. And if I were to ask you if you would like to have a neighbor like this, chances are you would tell me no. So on the one hand, we have government interests and, you know, the social whole social framework, social workers, the perhaps more left-leaning voices in society who want to have those people remain in housing. But then for us as landlords and also the authority figures who end up having to police the quality of life in our buildings, well, we have a whole other kind of set of incentives. So the next thing I want to do is to look at some of the CMHC reports. The CMHC just released 3 reports on evictions. I got their lovely little email in my inbox yesterday and quickly ran in there and read all about it. And what they've done in those reports is to pull out some data around the kind of people, the groups of people who face higher eviction rates, and then also to look at the outcomes of some of those individuals. So I'm going to have some comments to make about that in a minute, but let's take a look at the data first. So one of the first findings that they had was that evictions do tend to affect certain populations, racial populations, more than others. So we have, for example, the fact that 24% of all evictions are of Black renters, whereas Black renters only make up 14% of the renting population. We find this same difference also with Indigenous peoples. So 6% of evictees are Indigenous, whereas only 4.3% of renters are. So it does appear as if those two populations are getting evicted at higher rates than everyone else. The other thing that they found had went along with the other factor that they found that was more related to higher chances of eviction were mental health and addiction problems. And so in the studies that they did, they found that people who had mental health issues and addiction issues were more likely to get evicted. The other thing that I found really interesting is that they had a disability coefficient, and they mapped the disability coefficient against the likelihood of being evicted. And basically what they found with this is that the more severe someone's being disabled was, the more likely they were to be evicted. And I will tell you that this is something that I have seen in my practice where people who have disabilities, and you know, it's tough to know where mental health stops and disability begins. I could give you the example of another eviction that I had to carry out about a year and a half ago of an older woman who was slipping into dementia. And what ended up happening is that she had delegated the rent payment to her son. And because her son suffered from addiction and a gambling problem, he gambled away the money that she was, I assume, getting as her pension. And then when she tipped into non-payment, it was really impossible to talk to her. We couldn't get her on the phone. We tried to speak to the son, and then the son gave us the runaround and finally ended up not paying the rent for something like 3 or 4 months. And so this was a situation in which we didn't immediately jump to the rental board and try to go for an eviction just because we knew that this older woman really would be struggling in that situation. But facing that kind of ongoing rent, like unpayment of rent, it's kind of impossible to keep housing someone for free if they are not paying the rent. And then if there are a lot of the other problems that go along with that, whether it's pest control or lack of sanitation, and then also having conflict with landlords and with the other residents in the area. So back to the CMHC report. One of the things that they found were that evictions are not evenly distributed and that vulnerable groups bear a disproportionate impact. That is true. I have seen that, you know, in my practice as a property manager. But the fact that landlord gets positioned as bad guys, really, it also, one should understand that if there are these ongoing social issues and that there are structural failures going on, well, the landlord becomes kind of the bad guy or the hand that ends up enforcing some of those issues. But I'm sure that if I were to ask you if you would like to have a neighbor who has some sort of mental health or addiction issue and is living in an unsanitary way, I'm sure that that is not something that each of us as an individual would enjoy. And unfortunately, the landlord ends up being the one who has to police that kind of thing. Before going too far down the interpretive rabbit hole, I want to share a few more statistics that came from the reporting. And so the CMHC report also let us know that 7% of Canadians have experienced an eviction at least once, and 28% of those who are homeless have been evicted. It's also interesting to know that as of 2021, 19% of evicted households fell into hidden homelessness. And what you can think of this as being is something like couch surfing, staying with family or friends, that kind of thing. And then also of the people who are in the city shelters, first-time users of shelters are often triggered by an eviction. And so what this part of the report is showing is that eviction is often the tipping point that's going to push a person or a household into homelessness. But the thing to realize is that it's not always landlord versus tenant. It's because there are systemic gaps in mental health, addiction support, and income security that push tenants over the edge. And I think what's going to be really interesting is when we look at the next little set of data, which has to do with how evictions affect individuals negatively, that it really becomes clear the perspective or the goal behind some of the CMHC reporting. Because what we do find here is a real focus on the individual outcomes. So the individual health outcomes, the individual addiction outcomes that happen to the evictees, if you want, And then you could also think about, from a social perspective, the fact that there are more homeless people, more unhoused people on the city streets around us. Well, that has to do with them being tipped into homelessness for eviction. I can't find fault with that reasoning. But what I do find fault with, or perhaps lack of perspective, is that once again, what we find is that there is a misalignment of objectives. So there's a misalignment between this reporting, definitely, but also behind the government agenda, which is trying to prevent people from being evicted, because that then ends up creating a problem that is borne by government budgets, right? Because if we have to pay police to deal with homeless, or if we have to pay crisis services to look after addicted people who are in the streets, well, that's then a social problem that is borne by the community and by tax dollars and by government administrations. Whereas if individual landlords and the tenants who share buildings with people who are having antisocial behavior, if those are the people who are suffering, there is no cost to the government. So just bear this in mind, you as individual investor or landlord, or perhaps neighbor of, you know, somebody who is having antisocial behaviors, the case of an eviction in order to help your objectives, which might be to protect your investment and to provide a good quality of life for the socially collaborative residents who you have. I mean, that is going to be your interest as a landlord, right? Is making sure that your rent gets paid, making sure that there's not someone damaging your investment, and making sure that you don't have to wade through conflicts yourself or to deal with all of the neighborhood problems that people have when they start generating conflicts around them. And for us as investors and landlords, well, our incentives are not going to be the same as the government reporting. So I will share with you just some of the additional findings of the reports that I read, which is that evicted tenants have some of the lowest self-reported mental and physical health, and that disability doubles the chance of being evicted. So that's an interesting one. It's then also that tenants with mental challenges are 2.1% more likely to fall behind on the rent and 2.2% more likely to clash with the landlords. So that, I will tell you anecdotally, is definitely true, is that the more someone is has mental health challenges, has addiction challenges, whatever else it might be, the more likely they are to clash with the landlord. That is 100% true. And substance abuse is explicitly named as something that's associated with suspected illegal activity or disruptive behavior, and that this kind of thing linked to drug consumption will often be one of the things that triggers eviction. And so what I would say is that it's kind of interesting that the government decided to report on evictions, because from my perspective, the rise in eviction really reflects the fact that we're having health crises, so mental health crises and addiction crises that are getting worse. And so if I think the real root cause is that mental health and addiction problems are going up, along with, you know, the everything that has to do with old age, whether that's, you know, dementia or hoarding, which tends to go up with old age. Like, those things are all rising, as far as I'm concerned, very quickly. And so, of course, evictions are rising, because that ends up being the end point of the fact that us as a society, we don't manage some of those social issues very effectively. And when individual landlords and residents get sick of dealing with the fallout of that, because it comes into your life in a very personal way when you're housing people who have various social issues, or when it's your neighbors who are doing that. And so, you know, us as landlords, we end up managing health and addiction issues without tools or training, but it's also a way in which some of those problems that society does not have a safety net to deal with end up falling on us in the housing industry. And so here is the really what I want to set before you is the investor's dilemma. So if you think, and I find this like super interesting about the report, because as I was reading it, I felt myself getting like kind of angry. And angry because if, you know, the CMHC or someone who reports on housing is not looking at what the effects are of those social problems, so mental health, addictions, antisocial behavior, tenants with disabilities, nobody's doing studies to look at what that does to the landlord's quality of life, or what that does to the quality of life of the other residents of the building, or what that does to the rates of property damage. What ends up being the focus of the report is what are the outcomes of the people who end up being evicted. But there's absolutely no question upstream to look at what are some of these, really socially, uncollaborative behaviors that ended up getting people evicted in the first place. So, you know, I find that interesting. But what you can read into that is the fact that the government's goal is to prevent evictions and thereby reduce homelessness. Because we know that once people become homeless and once there is an eviction, then the health outcomes of the people who were evicted are looking less positive, and that ends up then being a problem for the government. Now, if you also look at, the goals of what tenants who end up being evicted might be, so they're often not aligned with paying rent, maintaining units, or neighborhood peace, whereas our landlord or business goals will be to provide safe, habitable housing, maintain profitability, and also protect the other tenants. So then what ends up happening is that eviction becomes the collision point or a fault line where these competing goals meet one another. And I think this is absolutely what we're seeing. And so I just find it unfortunate that the CMHC does not point to the fact that as our government budgets for dealing with these health crises, whether it's mental health, addiction, disability, all those kind of things, as those budgets are being slashed, and as the rates have gone up because of, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of policies that were instituted during COVID and legalization, like don't get me started on that, right? You want to like legalize a whole other category of drug and hope that that's going to help people with their addiction problems. Let's not go down that rabbit hole right now. But, you know, if you really look at what the government goals are in this case, they're like quite misaligned with what our goals are. And that even the way in which a lot of these data and these reports that are being paid for, the perspective that they're giving is really, very one-sided as far as I'm concerned. And so in looking at the, risk and return for us, right? Because again, the goal of this show is, I can't avoid doing a certain amount of social commentary, but that's really not where I want to go. The goal is to have a show that really presents this in a way that's investor friendly and that takes our interests front and center, as opposed to perhaps the government interests or some other kind of more like, social interests of outcomes of people who end up being evicted. And so for us, the risks are the legal costs involved in eviction. I will tell you, it's not cheap between going to court and having to pay the bailiff and all that kind of stuff. And then also, the strain that creates on other residents in the building and the building reputation if the problem tenants aren't managed. Because we all know anecdotally that if you have, let's say, a sixplex and one tenant in there is, either dealing drugs or brings roaches and all other kinds of negative things into the building, what's going to happen is your good tenants are going to leave. And then the environment of that building is going to slip and your investment will be damaged, but so will the quality of life of the other residents in there. So that's a risk if, in a sense, one is not using evictions as a tool when it's the right time. So it's, even though an eviction is not a nice thing, it is a tool that unfortunately we have to use at certain points to protect our investment, to protect the fact that our rent is getting paid, but also to manage what the social quality is of being a resident in our building. Now, for us, some of the upsides of an eviction can be that a properly managed eviction will free up a unit for paying tenants and tenants who are often more socially collaborative, and that the result will be a safer, more stable community with higher tenant satisfaction and then in the end, property values. And so the big picture is that evictions aren't profitable per se, but they are sometimes necessary to stabilize investments. And so if you find yourself confronted with this issue of, do I need to carry out an eviction in this particular case where someone is not paying and they're manifesting all sorts of socially destructive behaviors, whatever those different behaviors might be, well, it might be that in order to stabilize your investment and to provide a better quality of life to the other residents of the building, it might be that it actually ends up being the best decision. And so I think as a closing thought, I would like to say that as investors, we shouldn't see evictions just as legal proceedings, but also as a signal of larger system misalignments. So where housing and health and government policy clash. And like, this is really where I'm going with my upcoming book called Squeezed, is to look at some of these misalignments. So to combine some of the stories that and the things that I've experienced as a property manager with some of these policy questions, and then to think through what that means for us as investors. And so unfortunately, for sustainable returns, landlords and policymakers really should be realigning incentives. And I think that you know, there are all of these recommendations that get made. And unfortunately, you know, the recommendations that get made are often coming from the left and from a particular place that is perhaps closer to a government institutional perspective. But that if there was actually a real interest in dealing with the fact that eviction ends up being the tool of last resort for the desperate landlord who's trying to protect their investment and the other tenants, well, I think then, you know, if we don't have another way of realigning incentives and having mechanisms for understanding that, you know, certain groups of people who suffer from particular issues and generate particular social problems around them, like if the expectation is that they need to live independently and then cause problems for a whole category of other people, well, then that can't really be our solution as a society. We need to find perhaps better solutions for transitional housing, for people being looked after in different kind of housing solution, but that to expect private landlords to shoulder the burden and the cost of that really, you know, is a misalignment of incentives. And if we don't find a big picture way of dealing with this, eviction is going to continue to be the spot where the rubber meets the road on this misalignment of incentives, where on the one hand, you have governments that are trying to, you know, keep people housed at all costs. And where us as individual landlords, we need to make the decision that do we want to be the ones bearing the cost of the fact that the rest of society really doesn't have solutions to some of these problems? Well, it might be that the short-term individualistic answer to that is to go through with an eviction. So, Real Estate Fan, that's pretty much what I wanted to say. If you do have time and patience, go ahead and download those CMHC reports, see for yourself what the government is saying about the Canadian evictions issue. If you found that this content was useful, interesting, enlightening, action promoting, go ahead and share it with somebody who you think could profit from listening to it. You can also leave us a 5-star review or grab the phone of your entourage, your kids, your husband, your son-in-law, your brother-in-law, Uncle Bob. Grab everybody's phone and sign it up for the show. That helps us get the word out to more people. And also, please take this as a personal invitation to join me at our next Equity Builders Club networking event. You can get a ticket at equitybuildersclub.com/events and use my promo code for a $5 discount on your ticket. The promo code is ML5. That's the acronym of my book, Mindful Landlord. So the promo code ML5 to get $5 off your ticket to our next networking event. And until next week, Real Estate Fan, have a great week and make profitable investments.